Well, I desire your prayers this morning.
I'd like to write the topic on the board. I've written on the board, purpose for coming.
Now, I could have written that in the form of a question, could have said it differently and said, why are you here today? That might be just a little bit more direct. That's a little softer way of saying it. But that's really the question today, is why are you here? And I've been for some time had this on my heart. As I look out in the world around us and see the direction that the world is going and how it can influence us if we are not careful. So I'd like to bring this message to you this morning. I'd like to start in the 7th chapter of Luke and maybe read just a few verses, 24 through 27. Luke 7 and 24 says, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out to see? What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Jesus started off by asking the question to them, said he began to speak to the people, and he said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? What did you go out there for? Did you go out there to see a reed shaken with the wind? Why would Jesus suggest a reed shaken with the wind? Where did that come from? Well, outside of the main point that he was preparing to make, if you want to see a reed shaken with the wind, well, the wilderness, you might be a good place to go. You could find potentially a reed shaken with the wind in the wilderness. I've spent some time in central and eastern Oregon. It's a lot different than the Willamette Valley, where the majority of the population is. But you get out there in central and eastern Oregon, and it's high desert area, and you're likely to come across some tumbleweed. Tumbleweeds maybe has similar value to a reed shaken in the wind? Not much. Not a lot of value. Tumbleweed blows where the wind takes it. That's not why I go to Central Oregon and Eastern Oregon. I don't go there to see tumbleweed. But if you're interested in seeing tumbleweed, if you have an interest in seeing a reed that's shaken with the wind, well, you might go ahead and invest in a plane ticket and or get in your car and use up some of your time and go to the wilderness area, go to a desert area, and you might be able to find a reed shaken with the wind. You might be able to find some tumbleweed in some of those western states in the U.S. You can find tumbleweed. So Jesus asked if perhaps that's why they went to the wilderness. Maybe you went out there to see that. Well, he had a few other questions and observations about the wilderness. In the 25th verse, he continued, "But what went ye out for to see? Did you go out there to see somebody clothed in, what did he say, fine, in soft raiment?" Now he was beginning to notice some things that he knew was not going to be found in the wilderness. He knew what they were going to find in John. He knew what was out in the wilderness. And he knew that it wasn't going to include those things that appeal to our senses, the fine things of life that are going to appeal to our senses. He said those things, he said, you can find those that live delicately. Those things are in, what do you say, the king's court. John didn't have those things to provide. John didn't have things that appealed to the eyes and the ears and the senses. He had something of far greater value to provide than that. So the Lord was leading up to the value of what they could find in the wilderness. But I want to pause, and before we go there, I want to ask you this question. What if they did go to the wilderness to see a reed shaken in the wind? What if they did go because they wanted to search for maybe somebody that was there that had soft raiment on? Would that have made the best use of their time given what was in the wilderness in that place in that day? Would that have been the best use of their time? It wouldn't have been the best use of their time, wouldn't it have? And I'd like to ask the question differently. If they were going to go see John, they heard that John was in the wilderness. And so they went to see John. But when they got to the to John, where he was, they began to focus on the reeds that were shaking in the wind. They went to see John, and there was John, and he was preaching a gospel message. But when they got there, and he's preaching, they got carried away with the tumbleweed that was blowing around in the wind out there. And they began to become fixated on that. Would that have made the best use of their time? That wouldn't have made the best use of their time. Because in a place where you don't normally find things that appeal to your eyes so much, or to your mouth, or to your ears, there was God's word that could be found through John. Something that was of eternal value. So with that preface this morning, I'd like to challenge us with this question. Why do we come here? Why are we here at church this morning? Do we come so that we can see a reed shaken in the wind? Do we come to see people that are appareled, have fine apparel? Not just why should we come, but when we come, where is our focus? Do we come just because it's something to do on an otherwise quiet day on Sunday? Don't really have anything else to do, so we're just going to come to church. Do we come to church to appeal to our senses? Do we come just because we don't want to be missed? Is this a good place to come to get caught up on the news? Is church a good place to come so that we can stay abreast of the latest buzz on our phone? Is it the best place to come to make sure that current events don't pass us by? Is church a good place to come to eat and drink and focus on fine raiment? It's not, is it? Isn't there something so much more valuable that can be had in coming to service into the house of the Lord? But you see, if we make our practice, when we come to church, when we come into the house of the Lord, if we're not careful and we begin to incorporate into the practice of coming into the house of the Lord, we begin to pay attention to the tumbleweed and the reeds that are shaken with the wind, the things that really in the end aren't going to have a whole lot of value, we are going to miss out on what the Lord wants us to get a hold of when we come to church. The Lord has special things for us if we're willing to receive them. The Lord wants to give us divinely inspired answers to questions that you may be struggling with throughout the week. The Lord wants to replace discouragement with encouragement. The Lord wants to be able to shine a light on areas in our lives. As we read this morning in Sunday school, in His love and in His mercy, He spoke specific things to those that had a need in their souls. And He wants to be able to do that. He wants to be able to use a house that's dedicated for His service. Isn't that why this chapel is here? Wasn't it built dedicated for the Lord's work? Isn't that why it's here? Don't you think that that's why the Lord would like us to come? To keep it a sacred place? That it could be a place that we come with reverence, with respect, that we come with spiritual expectation, recognizing that when we come into the house of the Lord, that if we will humble ourselves and if we will focus our heart and our attention on our Lord, our Father, which is in heaven, that the Lord taught us to pray and say, "Hallowed be Thy name." And Lord, this is the building that we built. It's just wood and it's just insulation and lights, and it's those things in of themselves are not sacred, but we built this place for a sacred purpose. We assemble ourselves here for things that have eternal value. And we come here because, Lord, we are in so much need. Lord, we're human and You're divine. Lord, we're going to stand before You someday and we're going to be judged. We're going to be put on the scales that tip one way or the other, that began to determine whether I go to be with You in paradise, to be in heaven, or to be separated from God for eternity. That's why we come to this place. We come here to receive spiritual good to our souls. We come here to be inspired with things above. We come here to especially set apart a time in the week to say, Lord, we know we have cares of life. You put us on the earth. We're not taken out of the earth yet. We have responsibilities. But Lord, we want to come before You. We want to lift our hearts up. Lord, we want You to look down from heaven and we want You to see a people that have their hearts wholly and completely lifted up to You, doing the best that we can to push out the distractions that would crowd in our lives and rob us of the very things that we need in our soul and in our spirit. I need to be encouraged. I need to be challenged. I need to be shown where I am going astray. And the Lord has set it up so that we can use each other for encouragement, so that we can use each other to be challenged by, to receive instruction by. There's power where two or three are gathered together in My name. Folks, there is not power when people come together and fill the chapel, but they're not here in the spirit. They're just here in body. We could do that somewhere else. We can go see Tumbleweed and read Shaken with the Wind somewhere else besides where the Word of the Lord is. God wants us in this generation to be a people that have fervency towards Him. God wants us in this generation to be a people that are still willing to come and shut out the things of this life that would come right into our chapel and steal away what God has for us. The enemy has succeeded in bringing things into our homes that we never had to deal with before, to steal away our oil and the power that God would have for us. May God help us be careful what we allow in our homes. May God help us be careful and on guard what we allow in the church house that is dedicated to the service of God. We come here to worship God, not man. We don't come here to give our time and our attention to things that are going to pass away. We come here primarily for things of eternal value. We live in a generation, a loose generation that is becoming looser. We live in a time that is becoming more and more informal in areas where it would do us well to be more formal. We live in a time where there is less respect being shown to God versus more respect being shown to God. We're living in a time where our appetite for things above is decreasing, while our appetite for things on this earth is increasing. Is it not? We live in a time where our spiritual sense of urgency, or said another way, the degree by which we are compelled, our spiritual sense of urgency to get a hold of God, to find out, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what is it in my life that you want me to see that I might be able to live in a way acceptable before you? We're living in a time where spiritual sense of urgency seems to be decreasing, while our appetite for things that are going to pass away continue to increase. Our attention span for things above seems like is decreasing, while our attention span for things on this earth sometimes seems to hold no bounds, has no bounds. Our attention span, why is that? Why is it that it's harder to hold the attention in today's world? Speaking of things eternal, spiritual, and yet people can spend hours with rapt attention to things that are just going to pass away. To be clear this morning, I don't feel that the Lord gave me this message because I feel like that we as a congregation have a great lack in this area. I appreciate and value the spirit of worship that I find in this congregation. But I see the influences in the world around us I see what's happening all around where we live and how it is starting to affect people in their lives. And I don't want to be affected that way. Thus the challenge this morning. I want to be on guard. I want to protect the sanctity of this place. I want the Lord to be able to look down upon me at any time during a service and find that my heart is best as I can, being a human being that I am. I'm human. But that I am being intentional and deliberate about worshiping God. And that those things that would stand in between me and the Lord in this house of God, that I would be on guard, that I not let those things get in the middle. There's a scripture that says life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. And the Lord intends for the house of God to be a place where we experience the life that He's talking about that comes from something besides food and raiment and technology and those things that we can put our hands on in a tangible manner. The Lord has something of great value to give us here if we'll be willing to receive it. So a bit of a challenge is our heart divided or undivided when we come to the house of God? Do we come to worship with an undivided heart? Or do we come and we approach this time easily giving up space to other things? Where perhaps we say, Lord, I'll be right back mentally. I'm going to depart from you for a few moments. I'll be back. And may miss exactly what God has to give us during that time. I know it's close. But eternity is a long time. And we're human and God is divine. And we're going to stand before Him. And I have great need in my own personal life. And I'm desperate to be able to be in a place where God can speak to me and reach me where I am. I don't want the enemy. He's a thief. He cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And He's satisfied to come right in our midst and steal away the very thing that God has prepared on His table for me personally. If I leave no more spiritually full than when I came, and that becomes a practice because of how I approach the Lord, the next thing would be, why do I even need to come? For after all, it doesn't seem like I get a lot of help. But it was my fault in the first place. You see the progression? That's how the enemy works. He steals away here, steals away good things here, and then causes you to question the value of the very thing that had value had you not given up that special place that God wanted to have with you. Why would the writer of Hebrews in the 10th chapter in the 25th verse say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, But exhort, does it say exhort, but exhort one another? So much the so, knowing the day that's approaching. Why would he say that? Is he saying that because he's afraid that everyone will miss out on their social activities? Is he worried that maybe we won't be able to have just a change of pace throughout the week? No, it's because we're desperate. We are desperate this morning to be found acceptable before Jesus Christ. I am desperate this morning to be in contact with God the Father. I feel desperate this morning because of my human frailty, because of the unrighteousness that's within me that I don't even know about yet, but that the Lord wants to shine a light on. I am desperate for Jesus Christ to speak to my heart. I am desperate to be able to have time that the Lord would be willing to come down among us and see a people that is willing to gather together in His name and lift up our hearts with one accord and with one spirit and worship Him from our hearts and from our minds and push away those things that would steal away the very thing that I need in my soul. I am desperate for that. I am desperate to hear the Lord's knock on my heart's door. He is not going to push His way through. If I turn the noise up so loud in my house that I can't hear the knock of the Lord, He's not going to force His way in. I have to make decisions to live my life such that I have one ear towards the Lord. I've got to live my life so that when I come to service, I don't say, well, if the Lord wants to reach me, He's a big enough God to be able to reach me. He can get through whatever it is. No, listen, He is looking for a people that are searching for Him with their whole hearts. And that means that we come and we worship Him in a way where we do everything that we can to push aside those things that would interfere and interrupt with our service to the Lord. I'm desperate for Jesus Christ today. Aren't you? And I want to pause and say this, lest the enemy wiggle his way into this message. I want to say this to the mothers with children that are unable to have full attention in service. You are doing God's work with your children. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing your children, knowing that you're going to be distracted by some other of God's work. But you come anyway. And you rear your children in the house of God, helping show them what it means to serve God. May God bless what you do receive, what you are able to receive with the busyness of raising children. And may He multiply it and bless you in a special way. That is not the point of my message this morning. I am speaking to those things that are avoidable. I'm speaking to those things that don't have to have a place in our services that can come in between what God has for us. I want to be justified before God with a fervency of spirit. Do you remember when the Pharisee and the publican went to the temple? They went to the temple, but they left in different ways. The Pharisee came, but he was taken and consumed with himself. You remember? All of his focus was on things he was interested in promoting. And he left no more spiritual, perhaps less, than when he came. But the publican came and he smote upon his breast. And with a fervency of spirit and heart, he reached out to God. And God said, that man left justified. I want to come to the house of the Lord, folks, with fervency of spirit. There is so much in the world today that is competing for our attention. And they can become so normal, and things can become so convenient. We can become so informal and so loose that we begin sometimes subtly to not show the Lord the respect that He would have us show Him when we come into the house of the Lord. I promise you that when we stand before God at the judgment, He will have our full attention. May God help us before the judgment that we give Him our full attention. I want a purpose to come to service with my heart and my mind dedicated to worship and receiving what God has for me. Because I realize we live in a time that is at variance with that practice. And the same can be said this morning, saints, with your personal devotions with God. The Lord meets us not just here, but He wants to meet us at home. He wants to meet us in our private prayer closet. Jesus Himself went to a mountain apart to seek God the Father. Jesus did. To get away, not from sin so much, but to get away that God might be able to give Him strength and help. Let's not let those practices go. Let's give the Lord time and space in our lives. Let's live our lives each day while we're driving down the road, when we're at work, when we're at family worship, when we come to the house of the Lord. May God help us to know how to do it in a way that He can reach us without always having to wade through all of the distractions that we purposefully bring into our lives that we could set aside. I remember when Jesus went to a mountain apart, when He came down off the mountain, we find Him walking on the water. Do you want to experience some times of walking on the water where God gives you extra special strength and help and power in a time where the waves would like to engulf you? Be willing to go to a place apart and give God your all. Folks, this message is for me just as much as it is for you, because I live in this day and time just like you do. I'm tempted just like you are to let my mind drift, to be distracted. But may we all this morning be challenged and encouraged to give God His due. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.